This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
August is almost over, and that means the Kinda Funny Patreon pledge drive is about to wrap up. If you love what we do, please know we couldn't do it without your support on patreon.com/kindafunny, and it would mean the world to us if you tossed us a sub, even if it was just for a month.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for a Wednesday, August 23rd, 2023. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Leftover Poppy, a.k.a. Breakfast Poppy, a.k.a. he knows all the sports, Poppy. Blessing, Adeoye Junior.
Apparently, I don't know any sports.
No, we're changing the narrative. We're fixing that.
Oh, we're reclaiming it.
Yeah, we're taking it back. I don't want you beating people up in the softball field. That's what
it's going to happen.
So you threaten
if Harley
time.
Comes at me sideways again, I'm going to fight Harley. This
like
is the second time.
I don't like that. I don't like that one bit. All right.
Listen, it was insulting. I was mad.
As you're wailing on him, he's going to be like, "No, no, you're thinking of UFC. this isn't mixed martial arts. That's softball. A different sport.
They're thinking about boxing. This is softball. I grab a fucking bat, hit him in the head." God damn it.
Blessing, how are you the day after opening Night Live?
I'm doing pretty good. Yeah. Pretty tired. Been gaming a lot lately. There's a lot of video games.
A lot of embargoes, a lot of things going up. One lifted this morning, of course. Yeah. Armored Core 6. You reviewed it. We'll be talking about it. But
yeah. How are you doing?
Same. Tired. You know what I mean? Hanging in there, doing the thing. It was a good day yesterday for opening Night Live stuff. Then, of course, you know, pandemonium at home. So now I've had to change my whole Starfield plan and everything else for my review there. And that kind of sucks. But you roll with the punches.
Yeah.
You do what you got to do.
How long away? Like a week away from the Starfield review?
We are a week and a day away from the embargo for the review of Starfield lifting. Remember, August 31st, ladies and gentlemen, Kinda Funny Games Cast. We'll be reviewing the one, the only Starfield at 9 a.m. Pacific time. At the same time, we will begin a marathon stream for Starfield that will go as long as you support it. And then, of course, we will be fielding your questions so that we over at kindoffunny.com/xcast so that we can do a FAQ. You read all the reviews of Starfield, then you go, "Hey, but you guys didn't answer this question." You send in that question, and the one and only Paris Lilly, the reviewer, will join us for the xcast to do that and have that.
So Paris is coming in here in person. We got to share a space with him.
I have the tab open, and so far I've put in on the airline ticket, Paris.
Oh.
Like, I need to book his ticket today because he hit us up. He's like, "Hey, when are we booking tickets?" I'm like, "Oh, I thought you were doing that." Shit, fuck. Okay. I'll get on it. I'm on it.
Oh, yeah. That's an exciting time.
It's going to be very exciting at Paris Epi. I'm very excited. It's you know, win, lose, or draw on how good Starfield is. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a big deal. And we're treating it like a big deal, which is something fun and exciting for us. Because, again, this is something we've talked about a little bit with other games this year, right? Of like, we would have loved to have gone bigger for Zelda. Nintendo gave us one code, right? So that kind of changed it. Plus, there was a bunch of preview restrictions and review restrictions, right? Mm-hmm. Final Fantasy has been broken up because it dropped on a whole bunch of the people reviewing other stuff too. So it wasn't like we had the unified, let's go there. Nor did we know it was going to be as big maybe as it was going to be. So Starfield, we're betting big on that people are going to want to know a lot about it. And we're all going to want to keep playing it.
Yeah. I know it's tough to talk about Starfield, right? Because we don't want to break embargo and all.
You can go ahead and give your score. Pete Hines ain't watching this. I can call him right now. Pete, do you mind if we get our scores?
But I talked to Tamor about this a bit of like, oh, yeah, thinking about Starfield content plans and Starfield, how we're going to cover it and all this stuff, right? It feels different from other games, kind of like you're talking about. Is this one that you're excited to cover? Are you daunted to cover it? Like, going into it, does it more so just feel like the start of the fall to you? Like, where does Starfield, I guess, fall?
I'm excited to do it because it's one of the rare games that's a big game that other people got out of the way of. When you look at Spider-Man, we will cover Spider-Man in a big way with, you know, how we play games and how we talk about games, but we're also probably going to have Alan Wake creeping in there. We're gonna have other stuff going, Sonic Superstars. Like, Starfield is being treated differently, and I honestly do feel in a lot of ways like we're having like content meetings about Starfield in a way like we used to do this all the time at IGN for big games. And like even yesterday where we were having a conversation on the Gamescast Slack channel and Janet was like, "Yo, you guys might want to start a Slack channel for this to keep everything in one, all the ideas for content, all the things you want to do, what you want to talk about and bounce questions off of each other and what, you know, for SEO." Kind of, I'm like, "Oh, that's really smart." Like, and she was like, "Literally, that's what we used to do at Guides at IGN." I was like, "Yeah, right.
Yeah.
We're actually treating this like that rather than how it normally is where you and me run away and play a game and then come together on the show to talk about it if we liked it or not."
Yeah.
Which is good, and that's definitely the kind of funny content, but you know, it's hard for us as a small 11-person independent company, you should support on Patreon to do like a cool all hands on deck. This is the big thing, which of course then nets out to the amount of emails I've gotten for review codes and like, hey, we're not gonna cover that. Sorry, everybody's doing something else.
I got the Mortal Kombat 1 beta last weekend, and I'm like, oh, what horrible timing for this thing. Because I'd love to just sit and play Mortal Kombat throughout the whole weekend, but of course we have Starfield codes, and then also Imran and Reb decided to get married, and like,
what a bunch of clowns! You know, right? Could they have thought about it? You know what I mean, Kevin? Like, they know how review codes come in. It really seemed insensitive that Imran and Reb kept their wedding where they kept it.
Terrible. But I'm excited to see also how our Starfield coverage reflects the rest of the fall's coverage in terms of, I feel like we have a good flow going from reviewing games like God of War, like having a plan and seeing that through, right? Yeah. And going into Zelda and like making TikToks for Zelda and doing other things for Zelda. That I think then leads us into, oh, what if we did this thing that we did from this review and like made it even bigger and better for the way we cover this game? You know, I think we've had such good discussions on Starfield that it makes me excited to even talk about when Spider-Man 2 comes through or when other big games come through. Just be like, yeah, can we take this thing we did for the Starfield thing? Like, even if we did what if you played through Spider-Man 2 straight, all the way straight through for 20 hours or whatever on a stream and just beat the game from the audience? Like, stuff like that I think is cool.
100%. So. And I think, you know, it's the tree, the sapling that is the Kind of Funny spare bedroom is starting to, you know, produce fruit, right? Where it is that idea where we can go out in the bullpen and really have a conversation about what we want to do. We can't think outside the box of like, you know, we've done such a great job of hiring a staff, you guys inside locally, right? But then also the contractors we work with that are as much a part of Kind of Funny as anybody, that Paris feels comfortable stepping on, be like, yeah, I want to be lead reviewer on Starfield. And we're like, oh, okay, sure, cool. That sounds great. And then all these different ideas can come from it, and we can have, you know, like even me playing it in like, you know, things changing at home that then change how much I'm going to be able to play, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's a bummer, but it also doesn't really affect the content, right? It just affects my narrative of what the content was. So rather than play X amount of hours, I played this amount of hours. But even when I'm playing, like, am I playing differently? Am I doing something?
Yeah.
I can't talk about any of that. Can't, right, Pete?
Can't say anything.
Right, Pete? I digress.
Why Pete specifically?
Oh, you know, because Pete, I don't know. Todd Howard.
You don't think Todd's going to come after you?
Todd is the one who says, I listen to all the shows. Mm-hmm. And then Pete Hines is just like, yo, yeah, I'll tap my leg for you. What is this? Is that a Starfield man over there right now?
Whoa.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the star of Starfield, the guy from Starfield.
Whoa. You know, we have regular Earth gravity here, right?
Not when you're the suit.
You're behaving like there's not gravity, but we have regular Earth, like, you know.
Mikey, we have oxygen. Lift your visor. Yeah, hold on. What's going on?
Look at how cool I got a belt on this thing.
Whoa. Mike, is this going to be your outfit when you stream Starfield for as long as people want it to?
This will be my outfit. I'm going to go into the galaxy, and I'm going to get lost. Greg, you are a professional. Thank you for promoting the marathon stream. Of course, I've been approved by the founders here at Kind of Funny. There are no rules. There are no limits. We will stream until Monday Labor Day weekend is over, okay? So if you want it, we will go for it, baby. Thursday till Monday, let's make it happen.
That's not. I think we did say not till Monday. I think that was the only
Thursday
rule.
Till Monday.
I think that's the only rule we gave him. But I don't know. He's saying that. I'll tell you what. Jen's gonna be at PAX. I'm gonna be alone with Ben. Mm-hmm. I won't be fucking paying one goddamn cent of attention to what's happening here. If it turns out he's on Monday, it happened. What are you gonna do about it? You know.
Fair enough.
No, but we are doing a whole thing for the stream where we're not trying to burn people out. So I will be taking we're going to have one save. We're going to go through. We're starting from scratch on Thursday when the thing lifts. I'm taking the Friday day shift. So I'll come in and just stream all day while Mike gets some sleep, hopefully, to then do that. I will not be wearing his suit.
No?
Mike, if you hear me, if you want to order me my own astronaut suit, I will do that. But I'm not going to put it. He's going to be in that thing for, I think, 24 hours before I get to it. I'm not putting that thing straight on.
At what point do we get worried that Mike is going to like pass out on content or something? Because he just doesn't take care of himself.
I mean, that's
he didn't go to the hospital after falling twice
on stream before. Remember that? He fell out of his chair. Yeah.
I mean, I saw this man almost die on the softball field, and he did not go to the hospital afterwards. So I worry that one of these days, midstream, he's just going to collapse. And then, like,
now for the record,
nobody's going to be here except for chat.
For the record, remember, of course, he did confirm yesterday on content, as I've always said. Of course, he's following my footsteps. If I die or have a heart attack on content, you're able to publish that content. He said we were able to publish that content. He said yesterday on stream. So I want that out there. Blessing, do I have your express?
Absolutely not.
God damn it! God, well, you weren't on camera when you said it, so it doesn't matter.
Put me on camera. Absolutely not. In fact, if it happens, I want the streams just deleted from the internet.
Rude.
Hide it.
Listen, we're all going to be heartbroken.
I'm not going to be viral for the wrong reason.
We're all going to be heartbroken. Can't we just at least make some money off your demise? You know what I mean? We're going to shut down for at least half a day while we all figure it out. You know what I mean?
At least half a day. I don't even get 2 days.
Nah, man. We'll give you 2 days. Fine. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Let's instead talk about some other stuff that's happening in the industry today, because it is a jam-packed Roper Report. We have an update on BioWare, and it's about layoffs and restructurings. Armored Core 6 and Project Q. Strike that! PlayStation Portal Impressions. We'll have all this and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Of course, each and every week on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. You can write in for free over at kindoffunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, concerns, your squad up requests, and more. Then, of course, tune in to watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, of course, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching and listening later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Of course, if you really want to support us, there's the free way. Use the Epic creator code Kinda Funny when you're checking out in the Epic Game Store, Fortnite, Rocket League on your PlayStation or Xbox or Switch. But most importantly, head on over to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, of course, a few bucks would get you each and every episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily ad-free as a video and MP3. It would get you the ability to watch the podcast live as we record them a day early before they post anywhere else. Also ad-free. They'd be on demand as ad-free MP3s and videos as well. You'd also get more than 300 exclusive episodes of content since we went live in October. Of course, there's Greg Ways up there. There's Kinda Feudies up there. There's great things. And then there's cool merch like the Trog shirt that's at the Platinum Premium item tier. Go over there. Get that if you have the bucks to support us. Thank you. Housekeeping for you. A new games cast is up. It's our Armored Core 6 review. I assume we're going to do a review roundup, right?
We do, yeah.
Hell yeah. So we don't have to talk too much about that, but I'm excited to talk to you about it because you really liked it. And I heard, in a rare thing, ladies and gentlemen, honestly, it might be the first time ever, Metacricket didn't say if the game was good or bad.
Whoa.
We'll have to wait until, you know, maybe the Roper Report for that.
We're so stupid.
It's a big surprise.
a new PS I Love You XOXO is up right now, and it's our PlayStation Portal preview. I have played Project Q. I can talk about Project Q. I did a long conversation with Tim about Project Q, the wireless earbuds, the new headset, and, of course, this new PlayStation Link thing they're pushing. You can get that there, but we're going to, I think, do a recap here as well. On top of that, WrestleQuest is out. We are in it, ladies and gentlemen, and to celebrate it, we're streaming a sponsored hour today on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, so get ready for that. Of course, WrestleQuest was when Jeff Jarrett came through. We don't talk about what he did. We don't talk about Jeff Jarrett, but we talk about the developers.
Oh, remember when he hit you over the head with a guitar?
No, we don't talk about that.
Remember that?
I don't, actually. Do you understand that?
Oh, shit.
Do you understand? I've been suffering memory loss since he hit me in the head.
Do you remember when he took over the stream last
Friday? I came home last night. My kid ran up to me. I said, "How you doing, Bennett?"
Bennett.
I said, "What are you talking about? His name's Ben." That's what Jeff Jarrett did to me, ladies and gentlemen.
Remember when he took over the studio last week?
Anyways, their game got delayed because of me, and now it's finally out. So to make nice, I have to tell you it's out. Over on Patreon, there's a new Kinda Feudy available right now where Greg asked the crew to name a weapon from Ratchet & Clank.
Where Greg asked the crew...
I did not write it. I just read it because it's on the thing. Go fuck yourself, San Diego, all right? I don't know. You made this document.
I don't know.
Don't try to correct it now to make me look like an idiot. Thank you to our Patreon producers.
I got a little sleep last night. I'm not going
to
lie.
Thank you to our Patreon producers, Jedi Master, Deadpool, Delaney Twining, and of course, Logan Delaney, the Delaney Brothers. Today, we're brought to you by BetterHelp, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 8 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
It's already gone, but somebody in the chat said the sucks cannon is Greg's favorite weapon. Hashtag Greg sucks.
Oh, that's great. That's really good. That's really, really good.
We start with sad news. BioWare is sharing an update, and it involves more than 50 people losing their job. This is a blog post. Do you know who penned it?
It's at the bottom of the post.
Gary McKay, the general manager of BioWare. Gary writes, and we're going to read this. This is breaking news literally as we went live. Today, rather than discuss one of our upcoming projects, I'd like to share an update about the studio itself and outline our vision for BioWare's future. In order to meet the needs of upcoming projects, continue to hold ourselves to the highest standard of quality, and ensure BioWare can deliver to continue to thrive in an industry that's rapidly evolving, we must shift towards a more agile and more focused studio. It will allow our developers to iterate quickly, unlock more creativity, and form a clear vision of what we're building before development ramps up. To achieve this, we find ourselves in a position where change is not only necessary, but unavoidable. As difficult as this is to say, rethinking our approach to development inevitably means reorganizing our team to match the studio's changing needs. As part of this transition, we are eliminating approximately 50 roles at BioWare. That is deeply painful and humbling to write. We are doing everything we can to ensure the process is handled with empathy, respect, and clear communication. With that last point in mind, I want to take a moment to explain how we got here, what we're doing to support our colleagues, and what this means for BioWare's current and future games. What's happening now? After much consideration and careful planning, we have built a long-term vision that will preserve the health of the studio and better enable us to do what we do best: create exceptional, story-driven single-player experiences filled with vast worlds and rich characters. The vision balances the current needs of the studio, namely ensuring Dragon Age: Dreadwolf is an outstanding game, with its future, including the success of the next Mass Effect. We've chosen to act now in part to provide our impacted colleagues with as many internal opportunities as possible. These changes coincide with a significant number of roles that are currently open across EA's other studios. Impacted employees will be provided with professional resources and assistance as they apply for these positions. While it's unlikely that everyone will find a new role within the company, we are committed to supporting our staff as they navigate this change. Our sincere hope is that they can continue their exemplary work at studios who stand to benefit immensely from their talents. Immediate impact. If you're wondering how all of this will impact development of Dragon Age: Dreadwolf, let me be clear that our dedication to the game has never wavered. Our commitment remains steadfast, and we all are working to make this game worthy of the Dragon Age name. We are confident that we'll have the time needed to ensure Dreadwolf reaches its full potential. I can also tell you that every member of our team, even those departing BioWare, deserves credit for crafting a spectacular experience. These are our colleagues and friends, and we would not be here without them. I am so proud of all the work our team has done. What comes next? While this is an extremely difficult day for everyone at BioWare, we are making changes now to build a brighter future. We're excited for all of you to see what we've been building with Dreadwolf. A core veteran team led by Mike Gamble continues their pre-production work on the next Mass Effect. Our commitment to quality continues to be our North Star. As cliche as it sounds, there truly is never a good time to enact changes like this, but we trust that we have the right leaders and team in place with vision, passion, and proven track records to deliver world-class Dragon Age and Mass Effect experiences that our fans will love. For now, I want to thank everyone at BioWare, past and present, for making the studio what it is. I also want to thank our community for your continued support. We're eager to reveal more about Dreadwolf and look forward to discovering what else the future holds. Gary McKay, General Manager, BioWare.
So this story is a bummer, but it's another one, I think, in the ongoing stories of tech layoffs that we've seen a lot in the last year and the last couple of years, and then also a lot of video games industry layoffs. I like some of what they're saying here in terms of, you know, we have other openings in EA. We're going to do our best to try and find other people or try to find people positions elsewhere in the company, right? That's a good thing. But either way, right, this is a bummer because in any way you shake it, people are losing their jobs and people are probably not going to land on their feet, maybe in the games industry off of this, right? Maybe people find other roles in other places. But moments like this very much shake up people's lives in a way that very much sucks for them, right? And is in a lot of cases very unfair for them because they just show up ready to make a game, right? They show up ready to work at this place that they probably dreamt about working at, right? BioWare is one of those studios where if you're somebody who's writing a video game, if you're somebody who's working on coding or character modeling or any of these things, right? You look at Mass Effect as a, oh, this got me into video games. Mass Effect is one of those franchises. Dragon Age as well is one of those franchises, especially if you're somebody that loves RPGs. And so this is heartbreaking for that reason. This is heartbreaking for a lot of reasons. This is also another one that I think falls in line of, man, BioWare has had a rough go in the last, I want to say even decade, right? Like Dragon Age Inquisition.
I was going to say, you pull it back to that, and then Dragon Age Inquisition came out in 2014.
Yeah.
Right. And since then, what have we seen,
We've seen Mass Effect Andromeda, and Anthem.
And then,
And like next up, we have, you know, the Dragon Age Dreadwolf, and you also have the next Mass Effect, which is exciting in idea, but the execution of good BioWare has felt so long ago now that it's even hard for me to believe in those to some extent, right? Like, I know we can probably point to Mass Effect Legendary Edition, but like doing that as a remake slash remaster versus creating a new game from the ground up, we've seen that be messed up so many times, not just from BioWare, but from different developers, right? We look at Bethesda, we look at CD Projekt Red, and like these types of games just get really, really tough to make. And so I don't know how laying off 50% of the, or not 50%, sorry, 50 people on your staff, I don't know how that bodes for the quality of the games, but either way, like, it makes me a bit scared. It makes me a bit nervous about it.
I mean, the way you counter argument, right, you're laying off 50 people, and this it sounds very cold, and I don't mean it, but I don't, sure. I don't look at the 50 people in the 50 positions being eliminated as good or bad, right? It's that idea of, like, well, I don't think those 50 are going to be, like, That's what'll ruin Dreadwolf.
Yeah.
And I also don't think those 50 are what made Andromeda great, right? Or
sure. Ain't
great. I
think the cold way this is optimization, right? Like, this is them going.
Well, again, it's them trying to figure out what the fuck is going on over there.
Yeah.
And that has been the story with BioWare. You talk again about their lineage, and, you know, I remember being at IGN, and man, BioWare could do no wrong. Everything they were putting out, people were eating up and so stoked for and so into and just couldn't stop. And then, yeah, once once they get out the door with Mass Effect 3, which, depending on who you talk to, did it land the ship? Was everybody happy with it? And then to go from that, I guess Dragon Age Inquisition, I don't want to talk shit about that.
Yeah.
But, like, it is that idea of, like, they've been searching for that BioWare magic. And we say, you know, Casey Hudson leaves, then he comes back, and da-da-da. And it's just like, Anthem happens. Nobody really wants it, but people like what the, and it's like, there's so many things over there that have muddied what BioWare is and what that name means.
Yeah.
And that's what's fascinating when you look at it. You know, I think all the time, especially, you know, since for a long time, BioWare and Mass Effect, right, and Xbox series and Xbox franchise, I think of us as on the PlayStation side and how probably as long as most people have been listening to me talk about video games on Beyond, right? There's been that conversation I have of just like, when is Naughty Dog going to miss? They got to miss sometimes. They've got to eventually put out something that doesn't work and doesn't do, and isn't Naughty Dog, right? Mm. And granted, we can all sit here and argue about Uncharted 3 or whatever, but I mean, they haven't had a Anthem. They haven't had a fucking, we've shit the bed here, something's wrong. We haven't had an Andromeda, right? And so it's that weird thing of like, you jump to BioWare and them being, I think, the other side of the coin, where they really had that goodwill. They really had all that stuff and then got squandered, whether it be EA coming in and saying we want games of service, whether it be people who are formerly in charge of the studio or leading teams getting on board, you get into a games as a service model and that's not what you really want to do, or it doesn't work out the way you want to. And then I think you can even go and compare it to something like Bethesda, right? Where we've had these conversations of, man, Fallout 76, oof, you know what I mean? But that said, people are still stoked for Starfield, right? You're still stoked for the next Elder Scrolls. People are still stoked for the next Dragon Age. But again, I don't think they're stoked for the next Dragon Age in the way they would be if we were coming off of Mass Effect 3 or Inquisition, right?
Yeah.
If you removed the huge misses and removed so much turmoil over there, not even today's turmoil, so much turmoil over there, what is this? Is it possible to get the BioWare magic? It's back to the, you know, I, of course, I'm a nerd, so I would credit WandaVision, but it's the ship of Theseus, right? Of like, is this even the same ship anymore?
And that's my thing is, I think, if you're somebody who's a Dragon Age fan, I can totally understand looking forward to Dreadwolf. But if you're somebody who pays attention to BioWare and the shifts and the games they put out, I don't necessarily understand looking at the release of Mass Effect Andromeda and looking at the release of Anthem especially, and then going, oh, their next one's going to be great. Yep. Like, their next one's going to hit. Especially when you're talking about Dragon Age Inquisition coming out in 2014. Like, that is a long time. That is almost a decade. And by the time we get that game,
it's
going to be past the decade,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And, like, that's not the same studio. That's not the same talent. That's not the same. Like, and it is so tough to recapture that magic that we talk about with the BioWare magic thing, right? And I think even that type of game, you know, I think for me, when I look at the fresh RPG, or when I look at the RPGs that I've really hit lately in the last few years, they have been the ones that have decided to do things different, or decided to, like, you know, take a different route from what we see with the like the Fallouts, the Mass Effects, the Witchers, the stuff we know. I look at Disco Elysium as one, which is a CRPG that was completely fresh, completely different, but was really cool. I look at Baldur's Gate 3. I know there's been plenty of CRPGs before, but Baldur's Gate 3 has done it on a different level, and that is a breakthrough. And that is one of the biggest games of the year without being this, like, traditional Western RPG where you can pick up anything and do all these different things. I know you can pick up pretty much anything in Baldur's Gate 3, but still stick with me, right? It is not a a Mass Effect. It is not a BioWare type game.
Yeah.
And so I look at this and I go, I go, man, that sucks to have layoffs, right? But then I also go in terms of teeing up for Dragon Age and Mass Effect. Is that a thing that's going to hit in 2024, 2025, whenever this thing comes out? Is that, do we actually want another Dragon Age and Mass Effect in the same way that they were in 2014? Or do we want something that's way more past that, way more modern, way more innovative?
And this is the big question we have for Starfield right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, again, it was such a, not a joke, but it was comical, right? When Baldur's Gate was like, okay, we're going to move up. We're going to get out of Starfield's way. We're going to move up. We'll get out. And they're like, okay, good. I'm glad they're moving this smaller game that people are excited for. But blah, blah. And then it came out and it was like, holy shit. Like, this is clearly RPG of the year, right? And suddenly it becomes, wait, can Starfield live up to this? Like, yeah. Is Starfield a known quantity of what is it just going to be a Fallout in space, an Elder Scrolls in space? Or is it going to push something forward, do something different in the way that Baldur's Gate 3 has?
Yeah. I hope we see BioWare laying on their feet from this, right? I hope this is the kind of optimization that they need in order to actually function well as a studio and in order to capture that magic to make Dragon Age Dreadwolf and to make the next Mass Effect hit. But I guess we'll have to wait and see on that one.
Yeah, of course. And obviously, you know, hearts go out to everybody, whether you're getting, you know, put onto a different team or you're getting put into a different studio, like to your point, Bless, right? That's tearing up your life
and
putting a lot of questions in the air you don't need right now. So that's, you know, an all too common story in 2023 for the video game industry. But we'll see what happens. And again, if it, you know, leads to what they want, if this can get them back on track to be the BioWare people want them to be or be a new BioWare that people can believe in. Number two on the Roper Report, Starfield is the quote-unquote starting gun for first-party Xbox games. This is Marie D'Alessandria at GamesIndustry.biz. The launch of Starfield is the start of a multi-year relay race of first-party titles, Xbox has told GamesIndustry.biz. Speaking at Gamescom, where the company has been showcasing the sci-fi RPG extensively, Xbox Chief Marketing Officer Jarrett West said the Bethesda game marks the start of a prolonged period of regular new Xbox exclusives. Quote, "This is, in my mind, the doorway, almost like a starting gun, to what I think is going to be a multi-year relay race of first-party titles," West told us. Quote, "I was sitting there watching the same Starfield presentation you were this morning, and I was like, This is really the start of something that's going to lead to Forza. Then in 2024, as we go into Hellblade, and we think about Towerborn, which is on the show floor, we think about Avowed, and we've got stories we haven't told yet as well that are going to unfurl in 2024 and 2025, end quote. Xbox has struggled for consistency with its first-party titles over the last 18 months. 2022 featured few exclusive releases, while its most notable game so far this year, Redfall, was reviewed poorly. However, the firm's summer showcase in June was received positively from the media. West continued, quote, "This very much feels like the starting gun for this relay pass that's going to take place over the next couple of years. So, as a marketer, I'm super excited about that. And then if you layer in also Game Pass and the third-party relationships we have, our third-party support that rolls into Game Pass, but also is just on our platform, is critically important too. So I think we're entering a period where this is the beginning of something that's going to be really special over the course of the next several years," end quote. Hmm. Blessing. Great. What I'd like to do is introduce Mr. West to the Domino's analogy. Mm-hmm. We've been using it here kind of funny since about 2015 of lining up the Domino's and then we'll knock them over and then hit after hit after hit for Xbox.
Yeah.
Do you think we're finally there? Is Starfield the first Domino that's going to go dink, dink, dink?
I would like to elevate that question and ask, are the dominoes even real? Because while putting together this news story, the thing that I started to think about was the fact that if Starfield comes out and it is a 10 out of 10 game, it's a masterpiece, everybody loves it, and like it does what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Does that shift up our expectations for games like Avowed, for games like Hellblade 2, for games like Outer Worlds 2? Do we then start to look at those games the way we look at PlayStation first party and even Nintendo first party of like, oh, these are going to be 9s out of 10s and 10 out of 10s consistently? Because I think that's what we talk about when we talk about dominoes, right? We're talking about lining it all up in this clean way where it's every month you're getting a fucking banger on Game Pass, or every other month you're getting an Xbox Game Studios.
Every quarter, right? That seems like
every quarter you're getting an Xbox Game Studios game that is going to be of the top-notch quality. Is that imaginary? Like, is that a thing that we can realistically expect? And do you think people will have that expectation if Starfield hits?
I don't think it's going to shift the perception if Starfield's a 10 out of 10, 9 out of 10, you know, game of the year contender. I don't think it's going to shift their perspective that every Xbox exclusive is going to be that, but I think it goes back to them being, I think the audience being able to believe in Xbox exclusives to be more than, oh, this is something I'll play for a weekend and have fun with. That it can be this 8, 8, 5, 9, 10, you know, this thing that you're like really excited for, that you,
this thing that you play and want to evangelize to your friends,
that makes sense on why, you know, you have to pick a side on the console war when they give you your machine gun, why you picked this Xbox side, right? You can sit there and go, oh, well, Avowed and this, that, and Game Pass, and obviously all this other stuff, xCloud, yada yada yada. That would be the hope, right?
Yeah,
I don't think it's realistic to, that it'll change the perception of, oh, that I, that it's, oh, these are going to be amazing games, every one of them, I can bet that way. I think it's more just the belief that this starts the thing of great games, where you can, as an Xbox fan, sit there and go, look at all the exclusives, look at the library, look what we're able to do over here.
Yeah, kind of be able to justify your purchase and go,
exactly,
oh, I bought this Xbox Series X so that I could have this access to this cool first-party library, and now that started, right?
Yeah,
with,
exactly.
With Starfield.
Yeah,
there's, not that there's not been ever been like a good Xbox first-party game.
But I mean, basically, I think the dominoes always come down to good news about games. That seems to be the thing that Xbox struggles with, right? Is putting these games out. And when they do, when, so when you have a Redfall, it's like, when you have a couple of years that don't have a lot of exclusives, when you're Halo Infinite, like, there's so many things of like, you just want them to start the engine and go. And so, yeah, I hope that Starfield is the starting pistol for what they're talking about of like, cool, this is us beginning the run of not necessarily everything's game of the year contender, but games that if you look at it and go, that looks interesting, you play, like, oh, fuck, this is interesting. I'm having a great time with it.
Yeah. My other thing is that this is Hi-Fi Rush Erasure.
It is.
Hi-Fi Rush is incredible.
Yeah.
It came out this year.
It's, they're basically saying that was like, you know, the dark match. You know, that was before people tuned in, you know?
Yeah.
But it can be there now.
Before
now
the
you
main
get
event.
To, now you can be there and just be like, yo.
There's also Pentiment. There's also, I feel like there's been like a good handful of games that have come out.
Do you think this is not wanting to acknowledge Redfall as like the next stage of Xbox? Because if you, if you do
that,
it,
like, that's part of phase zero.
If you acknowledge Hi-Fi Rush as like the first gun, right, then you have to acknowledge that Redfall was the bullet after that, you know?
Because if Redfall hit, the first gun would have been like Forza Horizon 3 or whatever the last Forza Horizon was, or like Pentiment or something. Was it, are we on 5 for real?
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's, I again, I think you go back to that they are talking, especially when they talk about multi-year relay race of first-party titles. I think they're talking, that's where they're talking about, they want their first party titles to be considered what PlayStation Studios are. And so again, that carries with it, what does it mean? Where I think a smaller game like Hi-Fi Rush, a smaller game like Pentiment, isn't what they're talking about when they're talking about big stuff.
For sure.
No disrespect to those games. Okay. I didn't even say it, they did.
Some respect on Hi-Fi Rush.
Number three, it's going to be forgotten. Don't worry about it. Number three.
I can be forgotten about.
I'll tell you what we won't forget about. Armored Core 6 Fires of Rubicon. We have a review roundup, and it's looking pretty good. Metacritic, 87. Open Critic, 86. Mitchell Saltzman over at IGN gave it an 8 out of 10 and said, Armored Core 6 doesn't look to reinvent the bipedal legs of the mech action genre, but it does update, refine, and polish them into an aggressive shine. Every sortie is a satisfying combat puzzle to solve thanks to fantastic mission design, intense boss encounters, an extremely wide assortment of weapons, and parts that can dramatically affect how your mech plays, and excellent explosive combat that manages to take very complex systems and mechanics and make them easy to understand and execute. A lot of ands in that sentence, Mitchell. It's interesting. It's interesting premise is stifled by bland storytelling told through mission briefings and radio chatter, but this is still nonetheless a welcome return of a classic mecha series. Wes Fenlon over at PC Gamer gave it an 87 out of 100. After FromSoft's incredible run from Souls to Sekiro to Elden Ring, Armored Core 6 is a near radical departure. Short, relentlessly paced missions, forgiving retires, and an empowering... empowering arsenal that makes it clear you are a one mech army instead of some nasty little guy. Its lean approach holds it back in a few minor ways, but a big budget game this dead set on what it is and what it is not is a precious thing in 2023. And then GameSpot gave an 8 out of 10. Author not listed. Armored Core 6 sees From Software return and refine its roots with a game thrilling mech combat built on aggression, agility, and customization.
Richard Wakeling from GameSpot.
Very good job, Richard. On top of that, the one and only Metacritic broke from the norm to say, Armored Core 6 Fires of Rubicon fucking rips.
Oh yeah, shout out to the Meta Cricket.
My God. We also have Blessing's TikTok review up? I'd like to listen in on that, because of course Blessing reviewed it.
I don't know if I have that.
Can you pull it for me, sir?
Oh yeah, I think it might be on Twitter.
Did we make one?
I think
it's
Roger
on Twitter for sure. I retweeted it and shared it on TikTok.
Okay.
So it's out there. Anyways, Blessing reviewed Armored Core 6, Fires of Rubicon on, of course, the Kinda Funny Games cast. It's available right now on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. Podcast services around the globe. And before we deep dive into it, let's see what he says in his TikTok.
Armored Core 6, Fires of Rubicon. A name sick that never gets less cool. What do you give it on the Kinda Funny scale?
This is the first time while reviewing a game at Kinda Funny that I've played the game twice by the time I've sat down for this review. And that is because I fucking love this game. For me personally, I'm giving this game a 5 out of 5 on the Kinda Funny scale. I think this game is incredible. I should mention that this is my first Armored Core game. For me, during my second playthrough, that's where I started to really take things in and really appreciate the story for what it is, which is something that is in support of creating the best mech fantasy that you can imagine. And I think that's what Armored Core 6 does for me that is really special. I can't imagine making a mech game that is as thoughtful about how it wants you to really be in the mech fantasy as this one. These guys are really good at creating a really intense boss fight. The difficulty is there, and once you get past it, you have that feeling of overcoming something that you thought you could never get through. But at the same time, this is the most fresh From Software games in years and years and years. But I think this definitely lives up to what my expectation is from them.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Pretty good game. Pretty good game. Yeah, like I look at these reviews and I'm right there. My prediction for this, when I mentioned it on Gamescast, was that it would get 8s and 9s, right? I think. Well, somebody in chat mentioned that now on Metacritic it is Metacritic it is sitting at an 88. And yeah, I think it deserves it. It is definitely like I said in my review, it is the most fresh From Software game in years, right? Okay. Because for the longest time now, FromSoft has been following up on what they did with Demon's Souls and Dark Souls and making these action games that feel more of along that ilk now. But Return to Armored Core, I think, is allowing them to shine in different ways where they have that action down. Like they know what a good boss fight looks like. They know what intense action should feel like. Taking everything they've learned in the last 10 years and applying that to a completely different type of game has worked so well for them here with Armored Core 6. And you know, some of the critiques pointed out here, Mitchell Saltzman mentions that the storytelling is bland, right? And that the game is stifled by it. And I definitely understand where that comes from, because it is, I put up a tweet and I mentioned that like the storytelling is subdued. It is more, not on the back burner, but it is in service of getting you on the field. It is Metal Gear Solid radio chatter and codec calls.
Sure.
And you don't see any of the characters' faces in this game. It is all voices. It is all subtitles. It is all you just listening to them go back and forth. And when you do see them, a character pop up that you know, they are in a mech. And it is, for me, that is the cool part of it is, oh man, I've been listening to you talk for this long and then you show up and now I have to fight you and you're in your mech and this is what your moveset is and this is what your mech appearance is. That kind of stuff actually did make the story a bit more exciting for me. And okay. The story does have moments that made me go, oh, this is really cool.
Yeah, some of the dialogue where it's just like, you know, reignite the fires of Rubicon. And then you're just like, fuck yeah, let's do it, man. Like, it's one of the coolest games this year. It's my second favorite game of the year.
Wow. Yeah. Do you agree with the 5 out of 5 then, Barrett?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I also popped in as the Peanut Gallery on the review and definitely backed up all of Blessing's claims.
About time somebody did. Yeah. Question from Brian Thomas, who wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can, to be part of the day's news. Brian writes, well, actually, Brian Thomas, a.k.a. It's a me, BT. Will I enjoy Armored Core 6? After watching your review this morning, great coverage, by the way, and I am still asking myself if it's worth my time. Historically, I hate From Software's combat, but AC6 looks to be much more of a bullet hell action game, similar to something like Returnal, which I loved. Does AC6 feel different enough from the typical Soulsborne combat systems that usually turn me off of From Software's previous games?
Yeah, it feels completely different. If you like bullet hell, which it sounds like you do if you really like Returnal, then for sure this game is for you. Pretty much all the combat in this game is you just dashing around and dodging enemy fire while firing back. It is that exact type of gameplay that you like. It is not Soulsborne at all. If you're saying that you dislike From Software's combat, I assume that's probably because it can be slow and sluggish and be a bit more about that like you know, more slower timing to things. It's not that, right? It is fast, it is frenetic, it is quick, and it is involved. And so even Brian Thomas looking at your name being It's a Me BT, I assume that's a Titanfall 2 reference. And if so, if you like Titanfall, then yeah, play Armored Core. I would say this is on the very top tier of mech action games. And so like if you're going to Titanfall for that, definitely check out Armored Core for more of that. Rick, are you going to play Armored Core 6?
Eventually, like I said, when you did the previews of it, I was like, oh, this sounds like something I want to try. I don't know if it'll get my hooks in me all the way, but I want to try it for sure. But I don't know where that falls anymore in the next few weeks, right? Where it's like Starfield for the review, then Baldur's Gate 3 finally comes to PlayStation. I do want to play it there. But then there are a million other reviews. I would imagine Baldur's Gate, that'd be probably a nice pairing. If I'm going to go do that kind of thing, but then pump, because it's basically what you did for both those reviews.
Yeah, exactly.
Pop off and do that.
Yeah, I think the mission structure of Armored Core 6 is really nice too, because the missions are pretty quick. You know, the mission can be anywhere from 6 minutes to 15 minutes, maybe longer if you're struggling on a boss fight, but they're very shortly paced and it's very easy to come in, come out, and be good. When I played my second playthrough, and I might have done this for my first playthrough too, I was doing a chapter a day, essentially.
Nice.
And so, like, that took me 5 days. And it's pretty straightforward and easy to get into.
A question for you.
Mm-hmm.
You said It's a Me BT. Might mean he's a Titanfall fan.
Yeah.
We're basing that on what now?
I believe the big robot in Titanfall's name, BT. Did I get that wrong?
But you don't think his name, Brian Thomas? Might be It's a Me, Brian Thomas, BT?
I didn't get a lot of sleep last night?
I want you to know, my first, when I read it originally, I full disclosure, when I read it and like wasn't thinking, I was like, oh, he's a Death Stranding fan.
Oh,
or the BT's in Death Stranding or whatever. And then I looked at it, I was like, I know, Brian Thomas. That's
so fucking funny. Maybe he also likes Titanfall 2.
Hey, I mean, if he's got taste, he does.
I mean,
if he's got taste, he likes both these games.
Yeah.
You like Death Stranding, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I like Death Stranding.
I was waiting. If there's a pause, like, are you going to dunk on me? Or are you going to...
I just did not know what my response was.
Can't see if the fish is coming up to get me. Ladies and gentlemen, do you like what we do here? Well, and let me tell you about patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, of course, you can get more than 300 bonus episodes of content like Kind of Feudy, the Next Gen podcast, Greg Way, you name it. You could get all the podcasts live as we record them ad-free. You get them on demand, too. You get them a day early. They're all there. And then, of course, most importantly for you right now, you could get each and every episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily ad-free. But since you're not on patreon.com/kindoffunny, here's a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. We all know life can be hard. It's so easy to get caught up in what everyone else needs from you and never take a moment to think about what you need from yourself. I know from experience how often it just seems easier to care about others and keep it moving. But when we spend all of our time giving, it can leave us feeling stretched thin and burned out. Therapy can give you the tools to find more balance in your life so you can keep supporting others without leaving yourself behind. Some of my best friends use BetterHelp and love how helpful it can be for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. For more balance with BetterHelp, visit betterhelp.com/kindoffunny today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/kindoffunny. BetterHelp.com/kindoffunny.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
And of course, we're ignoring the elephant in the room.
What's that?
Maybe he's a Mario fan. It's me, right?
He's That's a really good point.
Ryan Thomas, you gotta write back in and explain everything we just went through.
Being a Mario
journey.
Fan makes way more sense from that name than being a Titanfall fan.
Imagine he's in a, listening, just driving, having a great time. Like, oh, well, clearly he's a Titanfall fan. He's like, what the fuck? Where'd you get that?
Driving this Mario hat on.
Never.
Listening to the Mario soundtrack for the movie. Like,
Number four on the Roper there. Report, Sony's portable PlayStation Portal launches later this year for $199.99. This is Tom Warren at VGC. Sony is officially launching its portable PlayStation later this year, the PlayStation Portal Remote Player. This handheld device will stream PS5 games over Wi-Fi and feature an 8-inch LCD screen running at 1080p resolution at 60 frames per second. Sony says the PlayStation Portal, formerly Project Q, will be available later this year, priced at $199.99. Quote, PlayStation Portal will connect remotely to your PlayStation 5 over Wi-Fi, so you'll be able to swiftly jump from playing on your PS5 to your PlayStation Portal, the vice president of the platform experience at Sony Interactive Entertainment said. PlayStation Portal can play supported games that are installed on your PS5 console and use the DualSense controller, end quote. PlayStation Portal features prominent controllers on each side that very much look like the Sony's PS5 DualSense controllers. They support adaptive triggers and haptic feedback, so the PS5 games will feel familiar to using a dedicated DualSense controller. The PlayStation Portal will also be capable of playing media, as the home screen has a dedicated section for it, as it's mirroring your PS5. You won't be able to run anything locally, though, so if you don't have Wi-Fi, then you're out of luck. Strangely, the $199.99 handheld won't work with Sony's upcoming cloud streaming for PS5 games. Quote, games that must be streamed on PS5 using a PlayStation Plus premium membership are not compatible, says Sony. So the PlayStation Portal is really a way to stream PS5 games you already have installed on your PS5 onto a handheld for remote play. You'll need an internet connection capable of at least 5 megabits, and Sony is recommending 15 megabits for the best experience. The PlayStation Portal doesn't have Bluetooth, so you won't be able to connect wireless headphones or Sony's 3D Pulse headset. Instead, it uses a PlayStation Link wireless technology, a new proprietary standard for PlayStation devices. PlayStation Link is designed to deliver low latency, lossless audio, and Sony is also launching a wireless headset and buds that support PlayLink. We'll get to that, I guess. So they're announcing that, yes, they are launching the earbuds. They are also launching a new Pulse Headset Elite.
Oh, so
that's all detailed.
That's actually really exciting.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to go hands on with all this stuff. Last week, it's up right now as PS I Love You XOXO. I run through the Pulse Explorer wireless earbuds, is what they're calling, a Pulse Elite wireless headset, and then most importantly, of course, the PlayStation Portal, while also talking about PlayStation Link. Mm-hmm. But Blessing, this is all news to you. We never actually got a chance to catch up about any of this. No. What is your first reaction to all this?
I mean, it's something that's very obviously not going to be for everybody, mm-hmm. right? I look at this and I'm like, what a weird little device that PlayStation got bored one day and decided to make. But I'm going to use this thing. Like, I think there's a very specific use case for this.
Uh-huh.
And I could find that use case in my home. Like, if I'm just chilling out in my living room and I don't want to sit in my bedroom and play my PlayStation, sure, I'll bust out a PlayStation Portal. Now, is that worth $200? Probably not. No. But for what they're selling here, it is a DualSense, not Edge, but it's a DualSense with a screen attached to it. Like, $200 lines up for what that product would be. It's just a weird, it's a weird product to come up with. But I think both me and you are in the same place of like, I want to use this.
I mean, so my place before we even got to it, right? And this has been one of those, like, initially when they got rumored and like, you know, teased or whatever, like, I guess rumored, leaked. Mm-hmm. I remember my reaction being like, oh, I got a backbone, so this isn't for me. And my answer, I'm like, I remote play just about every night.
Yeah.
I use a backbone, or now I started using a Steam Deck, right? So I'm like, this really isn't for me. The closer we got and the more I'd be at home using my backbone or using my Steam Deck, it was, well, like, oh, well, I don't like my Steam Deck like this. I don't like the feels and the sticks. Backbone's great, but I feel like I'm getting, you know, drops here and there because of it being an iPhone as well, let alone a smaller screen. Mm-hmm. And so I warmed to it, to where when I finally got to sit down and use it, you're 100% right. This is a very specific use case for people who wanted to do this or into it. I am the use case, though.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, today I put up a poll. I meant to have it pulled up already, where I was like, you know, are you going to buy this? Are you interested in this type thing for PlayStation Portal? Once the news is out, and of course, RPS, I love you, XOXO is up right now. And I said, PlayStation Portal, buying, not sure yet, not buying. I also just show results because, you know, people don't want to click on anything. Anyways, though. The buying is only at 9.3% right now. Not sure, 20.6%. Not buying is 56.4%, overwhelmingly. And there were so many people in the comments responding to me, right, of just being like, this is stupid, this is dumb, I would never use this. But then there's the people who are just like me of, my kids take my TV all the time, I remote play all the time. My wife wants to watch a movie and I want to be with her, I remote play all the time. And that's what I do. Like, not Ben taking the TV as much as I want to hang out with Jen at night, but she wants to watch Grey's Anatomy, so I play remote play next to her, right? So I'm already sold on what remote play is. So to get to go to PlayStation, get my hands on this thing, it does exactly what I want. My full impressions are up there, right? But it is like, the screen is gorgeous. And again, I'm not Tim. I'm not like the, but if it was OLED or if it did this or did, like, I'm a very much a noob when it comes to any of that kind of tech. I just don't care. I want it to work and I want it to look good. It looked great. Mm-hmm. I played God of War. I played Returnal. I played Horizon. I played Gran Turismo a little bit. And I played Astrobot. And all of them ran excellent. Like, and granted,
awesome.
I mean, I played, I think, a combined total of like 40 minutes of remote play on it. I think Astrobot, I noticed some effects weren't there that I think the frames might have been skipped on. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like, there was no latency, there was no this. Again, this is a controlled environment. I'm in PlayStation's HQ. But I would also go to bat for remote play as somebody who uses it every night. It usually is, if not flawless, 95%, 98% right there.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. Most people, I'd venture to say that most PlayStation users just don't touch remote play.
100%.
And I remember in 2017, Persona 5 coming out, and like me coming off of Persona 4, that game I wanted to play in a handheld mode. And so I busted out my Vita. I started playing it remote play so I can like kind of have that Vita Persona experience. And I was blown away by how well it worked. Like, I was blown away by like how good it looked on the Vita screen, and just being able to play that game like that in my bed was so great. I'm somebody who believes in remote play. I'm somebody that like is down to use remote play whenever the opportunity arises. I think this is great for people who want probably the best way to experience remote play, I guess. And does this have to be like in the same like building or the same
environment? This works exactly as regular remote play works.
Okay.
So your best experience would be on your home network, because you assume it's going to be awesome and you're close to it. They were very clear in my demo of phrasing it that way, but then also being like, you could take it out on your own, but like we're not marketing the device that way, which is fine. But as somebody who's used remote play in my hotel room on shitty hotel Wi-Fi, and it's been good enough, theoretically this could do it. I don't think it'd be the best way to use remote play, period. When I usually am on the road, I usually don't do that unless it's checking in for a daily or something, like I need to get out of a Diablo drop or whatever. Yeah. Like,
The big dropped ball here for me is the games that must be streamed on PS5 using a PS Plus premium membership are not compatible.
Yeah.
I think if they had that feature, this purchase would be a lot more justifiable for way more people, just because like then it becomes, oh, this is my cloud device. And cloud devices are really cool to have, right? Especially if you have it in this way of like, hey, no, this is just a only online thing that you get to do that with. I imagine that would probably jack up the price of this thing even more, right? Again, you're talking about something that's already a DualSense, that's already a nice screen to have attached to it. That's already going to get you to that $200 range. Once you start adding in the internals that you're probably going to need for cloud streaming, you're probably jacking that thing
up. And that's
up to
where,
like,
again, I think so many people, you know, the reaction today has been that. For me personally, something they never mentioned. I didn't ask the right question. I'm usually not a tech reporter, right? I didn't realize you couldn't pair Bluetooth headphones to it. For me, that's outrageous. That's so insane. You know what I mean? Now, granted, the new PlayStation headsets are using this PlayStation Link thing. I explained it all there. Like, it was really impressive. It's really cool. I really like the idea that like you can have a headset paired to multiple dongles, so I can move from a PC to my PlayStation, not have to switch. I really like the idea now of having simultaneous connections. So the headphones are still use Bluetooth, so I can connect them to my phone, and I can also be connected with the headphones to the game and have them at the same time.
Oh, really?
So you can run Discord through your phone or have a phone call or listen to your music and then also hear the game and stuff. That's all rad. The fact that I can't just, when I'm going to be next to Jen, I can't easily pop out my AirPods and connect them, that's stupid as hell.
Yeah. Is there a headphone jack?
There is a headphone jack. So yeah, that'll be my other... My solution will be, of course, they're probably going to send us all this stuff, so I'll have a headset at home that does it. Yeah. But my standing solution will be wired headphones there. That's what is insane to me. But back to your point of I saw a lot of people being like, you can't stream the cloud streaming games. And it's like, I hear you. Yes, that'd be a great built-in thing. But again, then I think you're talking about what would be the PlayStation Portal 2, right? Where it's like, That tech isn't even, we're not even there yet. So let's, I think they're worried about making this a thing to see if you care about it, to get you in the door. And again, make it for the audience that's me, that's already remote playing, that's already giving Backbone my money. That Backbone already makes a licensed PlayStation 1, right? Like, there's an audience they're seeing there. And I think what's interesting, of course, our friend, industry analyst, Matt Piscatella over at Circana, formerly NPD, tweeted out today, expecting a single-digit percent attach rate for PS5 for PlayStation Portal. Friction points, limited functionality, reliant on home Wi-Fi setup, requires a PS5 price, and guessing there'll be some returns when folks realize it can't play games natively. Would be happy to be wrong. And then I said, do you think that's a success to them? Because it's always the argument we have. What is the success to PlayStation when they do this thing? I say, I continue. I mean, obviously they want to sell as many as possible, but do you think they're also projecting single digits and are like, that's worth it? Matt says, absolutely. I'm not saying this is a bad thing. Target at a specific portion of the audience and the first real introduction to dedicated remote play devices for a good portion of the audience. It's fine. And then even that, he doubles back on and put his own response to his own tweet. Single digit attach rate would be fine for this project, by the way. Edge is also in that range, and no one's saying that that one's done poorly. In my opinion, we'll attach to PS5 better than PSVR 2 has if it makes anyone feel better. And like, I think that's the whole conversation here, where it's like, and I understand it. I'm not saying it, but when you're like, oh, but it should have had Bluetooth. Well, I'm in that boat. It should have had Bluetooth. It should be able to play the cloud streaming stuff straight to it. It should. Well, now we're talking about a different device.
For sure.
Now we're talking about a device that is well beyond the $200 price point and not doing this, what is a bare minimum thing. Again, like, I can't stress this enough. If you are interested in remote play and you have basically any screen, you can go do it, right? Like, right now, you could bust out your whatever generation iPad and a controller and Bluetooth sync to the iPad and be playing remote play. This is a luxury item. You don't need this. I want this. I want the DualSense in my hand, and I want a better screen. You know what I mean? Than I have on my phone. Meanwhile, I don't want to be next to Jen and Cole balancing an iPad I've set up and then also using a, you know what I mean? Like,
I view it as like, it's, what DualSense Edge to me, I think that's what this is going to be to you, right? Like, they're aiming for a very specific use case. Like you mentioned, right? Not everybody has a DualSense Edge, but the people that have it, the people that desire one, enjoy it, and it works for them. I look at this, and even though I would like one, I'm not going to pay the $200 for one. I imagine, like, I forget how PlayStation usually works. If they only send us one, the PlayStation Pro will probably go to you because you will use it way more than me.
What I said in our PS I Love You is, of course, I assume we're going to review units. I was asking them on the way out. This is the complete opposite of PlayStation VR 2, where I was like, oh man, I don't even want to buy one of these with office money for office, right?
Yeah.
If they were like, we're not sending review units, no question in my mind, I would pay the $200.
Yeah. And for me, I'm like, I'm not paying $200 for just another thing to remote play with. Sure. But like, if I happen to get one, I'd use it. Like, it seems cool.
We got a lot of news left. Of course, there's more PlayStation Portal. It's going to be hard to get that name in my head. Over it's on PS I Love You XO.
Are we going to start calling the PSP? Do you think people start doing that?
I will. Sure. Why not?
It's fucked up.
We also talk about the headsets. Tim's there asking me a bunch of audio stuff. Number five on the Roper Report, the Fallout TV show teaser was shown at Gamescom 2023, and Simon Cardi from IGN has a report. The first teaser for the upcoming Fallout TV show has been revealed at Gamescom 2023, but it won't be released to the public. At a presentation for Bethesda's upcoming space opera RPG Starfield, creative director Todd Howard surprised attendees with a sneak peek at Prime Video's television adaptation of Fallout. Helmed by Westworld's Jonathan Nolan, the show looks to feature plenty of fan-favorite aspects from the game. The Fallout TV show is set in Los Angeles and due out at some point in 2024. Amazon released the poster on Twitter alongside the mention of Vault 33. If you are looking right now at a video screen where we are broadcasting, you can see it. In the short trailer, there were glimpses of the Brotherhood of Steel ominously marching across a dusty desert reminiscent of more urban version of Dune's Arrakis setting. The iconic
vertebrate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Vehicles. A vault opening and as a woman shielded her eyes from the sun. Multiple nuclear explosions taking place in what looks like present day setting. And a shot of who we assume is Walter Goggins' ghoul character, who bore more than a passing resemblance to Fallout 4's John Hancock. While we only had a very small look at the show, it is clear that the production values are high, with the visual effects looking impressive.
I love the part where he says, we saw a short shot of Walter Goggins' ghoul, who has more than a passing resemblance to Fallout 4's John Hancock. Fallout 4's John Hancock, also a ghoul. And I was talking to somebody about this in a joking way of like, All ghouls look the same.
Great point.
Like, all last, super mutants look the same.
Last Glass Gaming says Walton Goggins. Simon Cardi, a fucking hack, did write Walter, but I have talked to Walton Goggins. I should have caught that. I apologize.
Yeah, all ghouls look the same. So did the ghoul look like John Hancock in Fallout 4, or did it just look like every ghoul?
It must have been. Well, I mean, unless it was been wearing like hero one of ghoul. Hat. Yeah, exactly. It must have been a hero ghoul.
Gotcha. But I found that kind of funny. But yeah, like, I'm so excited for this show.
Me too. Let's go. I like Fallout so much. I'd love to see what a version of this would go.
Even reading through this and being reminded of all like the tentpole like Fallout imagery. Oh yeah, you got the nuke. You got the Brotherhood of Steel. You got the vertibirds. You got all the vault, whatever vault that was, 33, right? All that stuff. Seeing the promotional image tweeted out by what was it, Prime?
Amazon, yeah.
Sign me up. Like they're nailing all the notes. I'm getting Fallout nostalgia already reading through all this.
Chat's popping off that's fucked up. You're kind of a racist for saying.
I know
what
that was the, that,
like.
No, but that was the joke that I was making when I was having this conversation. Like I was like, is it fucked up to say that all ghouls look the same? They're like, you can't say that. I'm like, but they do. Am I wrong?
Are you talking about the conversation we had on Sunday?
Yes. Oh yeah, because we're at the park.
Yeah, everybody judged you for that one.
But like, pull up a picture of two different ghouls.
I'm not doing that, Bless. I'm not feeding into this narrative.
Number 6 on the Roper Report. Microsoft is selling off Activision Cloud gaming rights to Ubisoft. This is Tom Warren at The Verge. Microsoft is restructuring its proposed Activision Blizzard deal to transfer cloud gaming rights for current and new Activision Blizzard games to Ubisoft. The transfer of rights is designed to appease regulators in the UK that are concerned about the impact of Microsoft's proposed $68.7 billion deal will have on cloud gaming competition. The restructured deal was triggered by a new regulatory investigation in the UK that could last until October 18th. To address the concerns about the impact of the proposed acquisition of cloud gaming streaming raised by the UK Competition and Markets Authority, we are restructuring the transaction to acquire a narrower set of rights, says Microsoft President Brad Smith, not the former Mizzou quarterback. This includes executing an agreement effective at the closing of our merger that transfers cloud streaming rights for all current and new Activision Blizzard PC and console games released over the next 15 years to Ubisoft, a leading global game publisher. The rights will be in perpetuity. Got caught up there. I said perpetuity. Perpetuity.
Poop authority.
The restructure deal means Activision means that if Microsoft does close it, it will not be able to release Activision games exclusively on Xbox Cloud Gaming. Microsoft won't be able to exclusively control the licensing terms of Activision Blizzard games on rival services either. Instead, Ubisoft will control the streaming rights to Activision Blizzard games outside of the EU and license titles back to Microsoft to be included in Xbox Cloud Gaming. Quote, Ubisoft will compensate Microsoft for the cloud streaming rights to Activision Blizzard games through a one-off payment and through a market-based wholesale pricing mechanism, including an option that supports pricing based on usage. It will also give Ubisoft the opportunity to offer Activision Blizzard's games to cloud gaming services running non-Windows operating systems, end quote. Yay, whatever. Weird. But I get
this
it.
This is insane.
We're like, how are you going to do this? How are you going to bend
We're
over backwards
give
for UK?
Cloud gaming rights to all Activision games.
Fucking Ubisoft, you're in charge. Here are the keys.
So we have to like reverse.
We got to pay you to get the thing.
We got
to
reverse license Activision games for our cloud. That's fucking insane. Business is wild. Also, how are they the ones to get this? And that's not shade to Ubisoft.
You figure it would have come down to Amazon. Who has the cloud stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And that's another giant conglomerate, right? Or it would have been, who else is doing it? You want to give it to PlayStation. They're slowly spinning this stuff.
It'd be so sick if it was PlayStation. Like, we're going to give PlayStation the rights to this, so we have to re-license it from PlayStation. That'll be a whole thing. But yeah, like, this is weird. This is an interesting way to do it. And I guess it's the way you got to do it if you want to appease the CMA. And so they're doing what they got to do.
They got to do what they got to do, 100%.
But it's just so weird. Like, I'm going to go on... What you play or whatever,
yeah,
and play Call of Duty,
yeah,
it's gonna be right next to X Defiant and Rainbow Six Siege
as God intended.
Cats and dogs
living together, mass hysteria. Barrett, play my music.
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money talks.
Here comes the money. Money, money.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to your famous, infamous, and favorite Kind of Funny Games daily reoccurring segment, Greg's Sound Financial Advice. Not actual financial advice, don't sue me. As many of you remember,
disclaimer.
I used myself as a test subject. Like that guy who wanted to fucking test ulcers, but he couldn't get approved, so he just drank the bacteria and then tested himself and got a Nobel Peace Prize.
What?
No big deal. This is a real thing. Should check it. Anyways, I said, I'll buy the Ubisoft stock. I said, you should all buy Ubisoft stock. This is a buy low, sell high shit, right? And so I bought it at $5.33. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to report $6.26 Whoa. Right now. We're almost to a dollar on every share I have, which is $19. So let's fucking go.
Oh, my God. And that's just because of this Activision Call of Duty situation.
Well, not just because of it. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on.
I feel like the other stuff, though, was like taking it down.
Well, sure. You like our next story? Number 7, canceled Immortals Fenyx Rising sequel would have been a mix of Wind Waker and Elden Ring. This is Kat Bailey at IGN.com. Last month, reports emerged that Ubisoft had quietly canceled a sequel to Immortals Fenyx Rising. It's a colorful open-world action-adventure game that many reviewers compare to The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Now, new details have emerged suggesting that Ubisoft's canceled game would have taken inspiration not just Zelda, but Elden Ring as well.
Whoa.
According to a new report on Axios, Immortals 2, codenamed Oxygen within Ubisoft, would have shifted its setting to Polynesia, giving an island vibe that would have been reminiscent of Wind Waker. What's more, it would have apparently borrowed heavily from Elden Ring, eschewing a map points in favor of dropping players in a hostile world. The story would have been had an environmental theme, with player actions impacting the land around them. It would have featured elemental-powered and shape-shifting, with players earning new tattoos based on their actions. The art style would have been eschewed. The cartoonier look.
Word of the day.
It's a word you don't see often, yeah. Twice in the same paragraph. The cartoonier look of the game, featuring instead characters who were more realistic. On top of that, Immortals 2 would have reportedly dropped the original's narrator and focused away from puzzles. In short, it would have been a very different game, different enough that Ubisoft apparently considered rebranding it as a different game entirely. Developer Ubisoft Quebec was reportedly taking its time with the project, but by spring, the studio had apparently produced an internal demo featuring several playable hours. Ultimately, though, Ubisoft opted to cancel it and focus on established franchises like Assassin's Creed.
My beef with Immortals 1 was that it took a lot of things that people love about Breath of the Wild, right? Like the sprawling open world, go any direction type vibes mixed with like the grass plains and Kalar style, but then also like a lot of the
something's wrong with your microphone. You're hello? Talking to a robot.
Hello?
They said
robot
blessing.
How's
robot,
that? Am I back? Barrett? Robot my blessing. Back? Barrett, am I good?
No, Barrett just ran out of the
room. Oh, no sound.
Heaven, I think.
Can do they hear you?
Do you hear me? Oh, Robo Greg too. Hey everybody.
Oh,
we went too long.
Somebody's down.
You know what that
something.
Means? Jared Petty and Gary Witt are exacting their revenge.
Oh, no.
They're in the room over there.
Oh, God.
They're pressing buttons. They're doing some stuff. We're going to get to the bottom of this one and figure it out for you.
Both of us have sound. How robotic am I? Can I just talk while with my robot voice?
It's fixed. Okay, we're back. Thank you.
Oh, fixed? All right, okay, great, cool. Perfect. So my beef with Immortals 1
what
is that...
What a fucking job. We just talk this crippling, destructive thing.
Immortals 1 took a lot of inspiration from Breath of the Wild, right? But my beef with it is that Ubisoft eyes'd it too much.
Okay.
Where I went up on a tower, I looked around, I tagged a billion icons, and I turned on my map, and I'm like, cool, this took all the fun out of like discovering things by myself. I would love to see what their take on Elden Ring is. Mm-hmm. How do you Ubisoftize Elden Ring? Because like I imagine it'd be the same thing, right? Of like you start this game and you're like, oh, okay, like I can see some of the Elden Ring vibes, and immediately the Ubisoftness takes over. That is what I would expect this thing to have been. It's interesting getting the inside look on some of the inspirations they were taking and all this stuff. Wind Waker vibe as well is interesting. Having a more realistic
we
art
had
style.
Chia, thank you.
This, I guess we did have Chia. Did that come out this year?
Yeah.
Wow.
it's kind of year we're having.
Ubisoft is a weird.
Remember
company.
Too, I was thinking about this last night. Dead Island 2 came out this
year.
Oh
my God. Remember when Dying Light 2 came out?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that was last year.
It was last year. We had the
that
same
feels like 10 years ago. Anyway, Ubisoft's a weird company. Go make some Assassin's Creed. You know, make Assassin's Creed Red a banger. Also take some risks, but maybe not this risk. Like, I know a lot of people are probably like, but this sounds sick. It wasn't going to be as sick as it sounds. This is them saying things of like, hey, the world loves Elden Ring. We should make something like Elden Ring, but then they're going to do it, and then too many cooks are going to be in the kitchen, and the game's not going to be what you want it to be, and people are going to hate on it because it's not Elden Ring.
Womp womp. 8 and final on the Roper Report, ladies and gentlemen. AEW's Fight Forever's 30-player mode arrives this week as average Steam player count drops below 30. This is Chris Scullion at VGC. AEW Fight Forever will get its promised 30-player mode this week, just as the Steam version's average player count has dropped below 30 for the first time. The game's free Stadium Stampede mode will be released on August 24th and offers a 30-player Battle Royale mode in which players run around a large empty stadium filled with weapons and other items. As the match continues, the area in which wrestlers can fight gets smaller, eventually pushing all players to the center, with the last player survivor being the winner. The mode was originally teased back in July, but the game's average player count on Steam has been steadily dropping since then, and, as spotted by Twitter user RJ-T2, has just dropped below the 30-player mark. According to SteamDB, when the game launched in June, it enjoyed a peak concurrent player count of about 2,200, with a daily average around 1,200. This has been slowly decreasing since launch, as often happens with games, but on Monday it dropped below 30 players for the first time, with an average concurrent player count of 29. This dropped further to 24 on Tuesday.
God, imagine, like, you organize this fantastic birthday party for yourself, right? Like, you plan out this whole thing. Oh, let's do this. Let's do that. Let's go mini golf. And like, you have this whole thing planned. You put in a lot of work for it.
Yeah.
And like, only two people show up and you're expecting.
I mean, the hope would be that a new mode would bring people back. It's a funny little headline, mm-hmm. but it is the idea that a lot of people, you know.
Do you think it will, though?
I don't know. I didn't like AEW Fight Forever enough that it would have brought me back, but I'm also not an AEW guy. So there's like a lot of compounding things there. I think a lot of people bought this game because they love the AEW and they love the old wrestling games and they want to see AEW succeed. And I do think dropping this right before All in Wembley Stadium this weekend, when they have like, what, 80,000 fans there, like there's a hype right now to AEW that it could be that, oh man, that was a great pay-per-view. I'd love to see, I want to jump back in the game and they have this new mode.
Yeah.
You drop in the middle of that thing, a little trailer for it, right? That'll go big.
I really hope so. Because for a mode like this, right, you're adding an entire mode. That is something that you want to have a large number, right? I would say maybe even like in terms of concurrence, at least 500 concurrence at a time.
Yeah. So you're not just sitting there with the same 30 people.
Yeah.
29 people.
But like being down to this number makes me wonder if all those people dropped off just because they weren't enjoying it. And if they weren't enjoying it, is a new mode enough to bring them back in? Especially if the mode comes out and it still plays the same. It's still the same game. It's just a different way to play it. Is that enough to bring people back? That's the thing that worries me.
We'll have to wait and see. But I'm sick of waiting. If I wanted something more immediate, blessed, say what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Out today, Draft of Darkness on PC, Curse Crackers for Whom the Bell Toils on Switch, Mirrored Souls on everything, and then Virgo versus the Zodiac on Switch. Meanwhile, we have an NVIDIA GeForce update for you. We've partnered with NVIDIA to keep you updated on all the latest GeForce RTX additions to your favorite games, like Half-Life 2. The Valve Classic is getting the same treatment as Portal with RTX, meaning a complete graphics rebuild that includes full ray tracing technology, DLSS 3, the works, all using the RTX Remix, NVIDIA's free upcoming modding platform. NVIDIA is assembling a community mod team. So if you think you have what it takes, check out the link in the chat to find out how to apply. There's a big PC graphics announcement also out of Gamescom. NVIDIA is introducing DLSS 3.5, which introduces a new AI power technique that improves the quality of ray tracing called ray reconstruction. DLSS 3.5 will debut with Cyberpunk 2077's Phantom Liberty next month and is also coming to Alan Wake 2. I'm seeing we are robots again. Gary, Jared, get out of the thing. Get out of the room and stop. You say one time, yes, I invite you guys to come in here. You are allowed to come in and do this. You are allowed to host the show, just be done at a certain time. What do? They throw it in my face.
You think they came out with like scissors and just started like
apparently
snipping away under this table? I know y'all don't know what's under this table. It's a lot of wires,
a lot of
cables.
Okay, are we back yet? Is the robot over yet? Did we fix the robot chat? They really are robots. We can hear perfectly fine. By the way, oh, no, you're audible. Just a robot voice. No, it's still not fixed. Mm. Good lord, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
All I want to do is deliver the news, and Gary and Jared won't let us do it.
It's messed up.
Isn't this America?
And they come on here and they promote their books. And they don't do like the three other news stories that I prepped. I prepped five news stories. They only did one and a half.
I hate it.
Like, the people don't know about Xbox Wraps now.
What's your favorite robot?
My favorite robot?
Yeah. Think about it. We're back, apparently. We're fixed. So then, let me redo DLSS 3.5. There's a big PC graphics announcement also out of Gamescom. NVIDIA is introducing DLSS 3.5, which introduces a new AI power technique that improves the quality of ray tracing called ray reconstruction. DLSS 3.5 will debut with Cyberpunk 2077's Phantom Liberty next month and is also coming to Alan Wake 2. And ray reconstruction will work with every GeForce RTX card, whether 20, 30, or 40 series. Speaking of Cyberpunk, Gregway, we've been waiting years for the first expansion of Cyberpunk 2077, and on September 26th, it's finally here as Phantom Liberty launches. It's got a fully ray-traced overdrive mode, DLSS 3.5, coming to both the base game and the new expansion for all GeForce RTX gamers. It'll be the most immersive and detailed gameplay possible. And finally, another gorgeous title is coming October 27th, Alan Wake 2 will be launching on this date, also with full ray tracing, also with DLSS 3.5, and with system latency reducing NVIDIA Reflex. NVIDIA worked with Remedy on 2019's Control as one of the first ray-traced and DLSS-enhanced games, and this collaboration on Alan Wake 2 should be just as spectacular, showing off the full capabilities of the PC platform.
Is GLaDOS from Portal, is she considered a robot?
Yeah, right?
I'll assume so, yeah. I'll say GLaDOS.
Okay.
Either that or Clank from Ratchet & Clank.
Nice.
Yeah.
New dates for you. Persona 3 Reload will launch February 2nd, 2024 for Xbox everywhere.
Why was this not the number one news headline, Bless?
Listen, Reload will also be available on Xbox Day. Game Pass.
It's coming out my birthday weekend. That's hype as hell.
We're 16 minutes past time.
It's all right.
Hellboy Web of Weird launches October 4th on PS4 and PS5. El Paso Elsewhere launches September 26th on Xbox One and the X Series, of course, and PC. Ghost Runner 2 will launch on PlayStation, all the Xboxes, PC via Steam, and the Epic Games Store on October 26th, the anniversary of the PS2. Worldless launches October 4th on Xbox One, Xbox Series X, PS4, PS5, Switch, and PC. SteamWorld Build launches December 1st on Xbox One, Xbox Series X, PS4, PS5, Switch, and PC. Hyper Light Breaker Early Access has been delayed, sorry Andy, to early 2024. House Flipper 2 launches December 14th on PC, and then My Time at Sand Rock has been delayed until November 2nd, 2023. Outrageous day for new dates out there, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, Gamescom is happening.
What's happening, brother? We asked people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames to go to Kind of Funny.
Bear, what is this?
.com.
This is El Paso.
No, this is Hellboy Web of Weird.
What do you mean, what is this? Hellboy's in the fucking frame.
He's right there, Bless.
That's Hellboy.
I didn't recognize it from the back. I'm not gonna lie.
I added it into the new dates because it was announced like an hour ago that this is coming out in like a month. Which is wild, because when this was announced, we were all like, holy crap, this game looks cool as hell, and we haven't heard anything since. Now it's coming out in a month, which is insane.
Our first wrong isn't a you're wrong, it's a you're right. From It's a Me BT, who says, I enjoy all the games you mentioned. Titanfall 2, Death Stranding, and Mario games. Also, thank you, Blessing, for answering my question, and Greg for reading it. Keep up the great work.
Anytime. I also had the questions to the doc, and so it's my fault that Greg read it too, so you can just thank me for both things.
Bool Borden writes in and says, Assassin's Creed Codename Jade, the mobile game set in China, has been officially titled, drumroll please, Assassin's Creed Jade.
No way. You're lying. They just called it Assassin's Creed Jade?
Great name. And then at the last second, Anon writes in with a you're wrong and says, miss new date, Ghost Runner 2 is coming October 26th.
You know,
did you fucking have a stroke between El Paso Elseworld launches September 26th on Xbox One and Series and PC? Then there something got said. Then Worldless launches October 4th on Xbox. What came between them? You fucking idiot. Is Ghost Runner 2 will launch for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series, and PC via Steam and the Epic Game Store October 26th, at which point I said the PlayStation 2's anniversary. What I need you to do, Anon, is AC your ass out of here! Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. As usual, someone's trying to ruin my day and you're wrong by being a fucking moron. Anon, what I need you to do when you come back to consciousness is fucking buy locks for your house. That way the mule that came in and kicked you in the head in the middle of the fucking night can't get back into your house. All right? You're over there wearing your pants as a shirt. Figure it out, man.
Everybody knows mules are weak to lux.
Tomorrow, apparently it's going to be Blessing and Tim as your host. Then Friday, Tim and Blessing. We'll see if it sticks. You know how it goes around here. Of course, we are running late, but we're still going to do a little super chat show here at the end where people who YouTube super chat with us can get their questions read. If you resub on Twitch and get your questions read, we'll go as fast as we can, get as much as we can, because after that, we're going to stream some WrestleQuest for an hour as part of the sponsor. Hey, congratulations on launching your game. Twitch, YouTube, of course. You can get it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And then they're going to stream other stuff over there. We're having a good time. We're having a lot of fun. It's a big day, as always, over here. But until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.
Gotta get Andy's microphone. Ooh, what's the set? Oh, I see what's going on here.
In the RGB, for a second, I thought we were going swimming. Play, no,
I was worried because I don't know.
You're
gonna
say, Anon, shove it up her A ass. What I would have
that would also been pretty good.
Hey, everybody, welcome in to your Kind of Funny Games Daily Post Show.
Welcome back, Andy!
We're back as robots.
My
favorite... I really don't know what's going on there. I'm sorry, chat.
We're back to being robots. My favorite robot, honestly, probably one of the dudes from Interstellar. One of the talking robots.
Okay.
They got a good way of talking.
The weird, like, slate guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one that, like, joke about the sarcasm. You ever seen Interstellar?
No, I'm not.
What?
Yeah.
What?
You don't need
it's
to.
It's wild because, like, I really... The Christopher Nolan movies I have seen...
He sucks. Why do you hang out with him?
I fucking love the Christopher Nolan movies that I've seen, but, like, I've missed out on a large handful of them.
You watch Prestige?
No.
I know. The Prestige.
See, you're not missing shit there.
No!
What? Fuck you, Greg.
You guys suck.
I've heard such good things about Prestige.
Why do you hang out with Greg?
Why do I hang out with Greg? I've not seen Prestige, I've not seen Memento, and I've not seen Tenet.
Oh, Memento!
Or Dunkirk. I've not seen Dunkirk either.
Dunkirk.
My plan is to do a Nolan marathon at some point.
That's too much Nolan all in one go, Bless. I'm going to let
you die.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I want to bathe in Nolan. I want to drown in Nolan.
Do it during, like, the Honda sales event or something. Let's find a way to sponsor tie-in.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah, I'd be down.
Welcome in, everybody, for the post show right here, everybody. I'm going to go back and just read some stuff that's happened in the past because we got 8 minutes left in the show. Casper J87 with a $2 super chat says, hey, Bless, how is the music in Armored Core 6?
Oh,
it's pretty good. Honestly, the music didn't blow me away. Oh. I think when I compare it to other FromSoft stuff like Elden Ring and Bloodborne and stuff, like the music in those other games are better, but like the music wasn't, I also wouldn't say it was a letdown, right? Like it kicks in the high action moments and it's like some pretty good like bass like stuff kicks in. It's nice, it's cool, but I will be honest in that the soundtrack didn't blow me away.
For what?
For Armored Core 6.
Oh, I dug it.
Fair, dug it.
But yeah, I also dug the entire vibe. Even the story that, like, is very surface-level Metal Gear, super fucking into it. Andy, you're going to fucking love this game.
I'm 4 hours in.
You're going to keep loving this game.
I'm loving it.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Abe Froman, 40 minutes ago, resubscribed for 31 months here on Twitch. Thank you so much, Abe Froman, for your tier one love. Says, Blessing knows initials as much as he knows sports. Armor 919.
I got your
69 hand. Months of support from Armor 919. He didn't like that joke.
Wait, Blessing those initials.
Remember the It's a Me BT
thing? Oh, okay, that's good. That's good.
Also, Armor 919.
He also knows jokes as much as he knows initials.
Oh, Jesus.
You know what I mean?
69 months.
I'm tired. Support. He keeps saying I'm so tired.
Sorry, that was 55 minutes ago.
Oh, I'm tired.
What does he sound like?
Kill me.
He sounds like Nick's impression of Dom Toretto. Shasalai with a $2 super chat says Microsoft can just buy Ubisoft after this gets approved.
Just so they can have the cloud streaming back. That'd be wild. That'd be a wild strategy.
It'd be awesome.
I don't
actually
think that's how
that would be
work,
pretty
though.
Fucking awesome.
And also, like, I'm pretty sure like the CMA would step back in, like, yo, what the fuck, man? You can't do this.
We had rules.
Like, can you imagine like Microsoft sells the streaming rights to like fucking Kind of Funny, and then they buy Kind of Funny.
If you want,
that's not how that works.
D Cash with a $2 super chat says, "Bless, is AC6 good for a general audience?"
Yes. It is. I mean, it's hard. Like, my thing is, look at AC6. If you think that looks cool, then play it. If you look at AC6 and you're like, oh, man, I don't like guns or mechs or action.
Like cool
then if I'm
then
fucking boring
away.
As shit,
I don't
rethink
like
your life.
Rip.
Yeah.
Rethink your life. Alex G3B with a $2 super chat says, does Hades 2 early access stay this year?
I'm going to say no.
No.
Yeah, probably not, right?
I mean, honestly, the best news I've gotten all week was that, like you just mentioned, Hyper Light Breaker being delayed to 2024. Sure. Way too much out there. Way too much out there.
Ghost Runner coming out this year still is wild.
Labor Days.
October 26th, in case you got fucking muffins shoved in your goddamn ears.
Helldivers 2 is about to come out on October 17th.
Where the hell's that goddamn?
Shut up.
Hellboy is coming October 5th or whatever the fuck we just talked about.
Owlboy?
Hellboy.
Oh, Hellboy.
Remember that cool Hellboy game that got announced?
Yeah, the Sifu Hellboy?
Yeah.
Labor Days with a 23-month resubscription says, Bless, have you done sports?
Angel. Oh, you're caught, my thing.
I'm going to body slam somebody.
Michael Cardenas with a $2 super chat says, Andy, have you checked out the new Destiny showcase? I did happen to check out a bit of it yesterday. Looks pretty neat. I like the colors. I like the environments. Of course, Bungie's art team is just god tier. So we know they're going to bring it when it comes to visuals. Will they be able to satisfy the wide Destiny audience that cares a whole lot about story? I, as somebody who doesn't know shit about Destiny, I had a freaking blast with the last expansion. I know a lot of people didn't like it because of the story, but I had a lot of fun with it, and it's really, really pretty, and the gameplay was fun and smooth. I still haven't done the raid, though. You can blame Stoneback Mike for that.
Did you hear the sports thing that happened? This is the thing that Mike told the story
on
yesterday.
Yeah, I did.
It's very fucked up.
I did.
Fucking ran from across the softball field. Hey, Bless, I know you're new to sports. This isn't usually what happens.
I know you're not from around here.
Like, people were playing soccer on the softball field. You're telling me that doesn't usually happen? I know you're new to sports. Get the fuck out of here.
I'll tell
you
what.
It makes it sound like he's never played sports.
I know you're new to sports, Bless, but this doesn't usually happen.
I'll tell you what, I'm...
Fuck, he got you, man! He got your ass!
Yeah, he's been living in Bless's... Rent is really expensive
why,
in SF,
why,
and he's been there rent-free.
That's why I didn't get much sleep last night.
That's why I didn't get sleep. Tossing and turning, I should have said this. Why didn't I fucking...
God damn it. There's so many clapbacks I could have made.
You're thinking in the shower, like...
Yeah, fuck, dude, I should have fought him.
I should have said, like, well, you haven't lived much here, whatever.
That would have been perfect.
That was the same dude where, like, Mike was like... how long you lived in Frisco? And the dude's like, we don't call it that here.
Oh, that's not Coop?
No, Coop is cool. Mike just doesn't like Coop because Coop's very attractive. No, Coop Coop is my guy. I'll defend Coop to death.
Because he's attractive.
Coop is the most attractive dude on the team. Yeah. And Mike came in, saw that, and was like, I don't like this guy.
I gotta swing on this guy.
This is the alpha. I need to assert my dominance. Yep. Let me tear my hamstring.
Coop is real cool. Coop plays fucking Pokemon ROM hacks.
Oh, okay. Now Coop sounds cool.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. I'm very, very jealous by all the softball talk. Count me in next year.
Oh, hell yeah.
You won't go.
I'm signing up for soccer.
I will
today.
I mean... Andy, do you know the whole thing where he talked to me about this several times, and then when it actually came time to sign up, he just never mentioned it?
Who, soccer?
No, Mike, with baseball.
Oh, suddenly it was just like, hey, we're playing tomorrow, and he's like, oh, didn't know that was happening. Yeah, I'm not too surprised by that.
I know.
That
I
sounds
know.
Pretty
good.
Do you want to do our own baseball league, Andy, with alcohol and hookers and stuff?
Alcohol and hookers?
Let's go.
Yeah.
Blackjack.
That was a Bender future.
Blackjack. I remember.
Blackjack. Oh, gotcha.
Blackjack. I keep inviting Barrett out to softball, and Barrett will come out.
I refuse to go until Mike asks me face to face, not on content.
And I'm gonna tell you, you'll never show up.
I'll never go.
Mike will never. Don't get me started. Don't get me started on this guy.
I'm gonna bat like Gary.
This is gonna tear you all apart. Blessing can't sleep. The friend groups are destructing. Fuck!
Yeah, he nailed it. Justin34M with a $5 super chat. Well, first off, I got to read Nabishin's super chat. Sorry, Justin. Let me read Nabishin's first. $2 says, welcome back, Andy. Wanted your take on Blue Beetle. I didn't watch it. I was back home. There were many plans to go watch a lot of movies when we were back home. And when it came time to doing so, it was too damn hot to leave the house. Holy shit. Like, the heat in Texas just felt... It's an affront to nature, you know, like it was unbelievably bad out there. I played hoops inside of my brother's school's gym, had the AC on, and it was still hot as shit. We never went to go to a movie, though. I wanted to go see TMNT with the kids. Mm, I wanted to go see
Hurdle.
Barbie with the kids.
It's Hurdle.
Yeah. This your SNL bit or what? Is this you on Weekend Update or something? And then I wanted to watch
for Weekend Update.
I wanted to watch Blue Beetle, but no, we just never went to go watch a movie. But I have to watch it for DC and review. So I will watch it soon, Nabishin. Justin34M with a $5 super chat says, hey y'all, are there any plans to upload the Kingdom Hearts streams anywhere? The Twitch VODs have several muted parts for copyright reasons. Probably not. Those aren't recorded. Those are just like extra times. No promises. Never say never, but that's not in the plans right now. Because most of that is kind of Mike working blue, you know? He just kind of...
cursing?
No, he just hits that... What is that?
That's what working blue
usually. Oh, shit. I didn't know that. I thought it just meant like you're just kind of doing your own thing, you know?
Hey, Andy, we'd love for you to play the church picnic. Yeah, can I work blue? we'll call you back.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is just you got to be there in the moment. You know, never say never, but for right now, no immediate plans. Spenny Bacon, $25 or 25 months in a row at tier one. Thank you for your resubscription, love. And that's going to do it. That's going to do it for this Kind of Funny Games Daily post show. Unless y'all got any last second things to add in here.
Yeah, we
got to
go. No, me? I'm going to go play.
You're going to go play WrestleQuest with Mike for a little sponsored bit for an hour. And then after that, me, Mike, and Nick will be hopping into Only Climb, that multiplayer game that'll make us tear our hair out. We'll see you there in a bit, everybody. Goodbye.